Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we don't have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we don't have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This is movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
turn, I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, upmade me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, are you not ready?
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years they have fed you this foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Yes, welcome to another edition of Your World News. I am your host, Solomon Kamajan, and thank you for joining us. It's been a little bit of a respite, but, you know, that's only because we've been very busy on with, you know, various projects and tasks, you know, related to, you know, our independent revolutionary media outlet that is fueled and powered by a number of things, including, you know, you, the listener, who listens in and contributes to the show, and also uses the information that you gain from this show and spread it all to, you know, to your network. So thank you for tuning in once again. And it's an honor, you know, as you know, historically, we've had students, college students come on the show as guest hosts to help provide perspective, to help host the show, to ask questions, to interview our guests, and also to contribute, you know, their intellect to the show overall. And, you know, today is one of those days. I'm welcoming on a sister by the name of Fasika, who is a college student, a university student in her senior year. She's about to graduate, and, you know, so props to her to enduring, you know, and using her intellect that you know, goes back, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I mean, because as we know, you know, some of the first universities on the planet, you know, came from the motherland, came from, you know, the continent of Africa, whether it was the University of Sankore and Timbuktu and many others, you know. So, you know, she's carrying on that tradition, is about to get her undergraduate degree and to go on and continue to vanguard, you know, for years to come. And so it's an honor to have you in the studio. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. So, Fasika, today's the crux of today's show, as you know, is we're basically using Donald Trump, you know, the president of the United States of America. We're using, you know, the comments he made back in, you know, the earlier part of this year, 2017, back in January, when he referred to numerous countries as shithole countries. You know, among on that list was Haiti, El Salvador, and African nations and various African nations and referred to them as shithole countries. So a lot of people, rightfully so, were up in arms with those comments, and like, you know, how dare you, you know, you say this, you know, can you believe that the President of the United States referred to these countries as shithole countries? And, you know, and I can understand people, you know, being up in arms, you know, with this racist, xenophobe, you know, Donald Trump saying that. I mean, and he's at the very least a racist and a xenophobe. But beyond that, I mean, he's so much more than that. And when I say so much more, I mean so much more in a negative way beyond that. But what's interesting is a lot of people that were up in arms about this, including the disingenuous media talking heads on outlets like CNN and MSNBC. I mean, obviously Fox News probably agreed with him, you know, being the white supremacist, you know, outlet they are. But, you know, CNN and Fox News, you know, they had talking heads, and like, how dare this? And I find it so reprehensible, so repugnant that they would say that, because I remember those same talking heads, you know, and it's beyond pathetic that they were speaking out about how disgusted they were that Donald Trump referred to these countries as shitholes, when historically, whenever a Democrat has actually invoked policies that have in essence treated these countries as shitholes, they've had nothing to say whatsoever. You know, and as the saying goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, in this case, you know, names may not hurt people physically, but economic policies, blockades, sanctions, drone attacks, imperialist wars, oh, those hurt people. Those kill people, men, women, children, elderly. And Democrats, just like Republicans, have not been bashful and doing those things. You know, just to give an example, we look at Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. Both men did some nefarious things. You know, everyone was up in arms with the drone program that started with President W. Bush. And then within his first year of presidency, Barack Obama executed more drone attacks in 1 year, in his first year, than George Bush did in 8 years. Not a peep out of these folks. Not a peep out of these so-called liberals and supporters of the Democratic Party. Not a peep out of them. Not a peep. You know, Bill Clinton, as we know, we look at Haiti. You know, the tragic case of Haiti. Tragic only because so many other countries, have been punishing Haiti because how this country valiantly achieved its independence in 1804. And since then, the United States, along with France and other countries, have punitively, hurt this country in many, many ways because of that. Because this black nation had the audacity to upend the institution of slavery. But we look at Bill Clinton. You know, he taking out the Democratically elected John Bertrand Aristide, taking him out of power, and saying, "Oh, you cannot come back and unless these stipulations are met." And some of those stipulations, among them, were the fact that the U.S. could flood the Haitian marketplace with cheap processed flour and rice. And what that did is that completely eradicated the economic wherewithal of many, many Haitian farmers, rice farmers, those who were selling flour and so forth. And so they were now out of work because there was no one to buy their flour and rice because the U.S. had flooded the market with rice and flour from the U.S. with virtually no tariffs. These are economic measures that impact people well beyond economics. I mean, they end up causing people to lose their lives and so forth. And so we can go on and on. We look at what was done by the Obama administration, lying about Libya and then bombing Libya, 52,000 plus people, more than 50,000 people died because of these bombings started by the U.S. and its NATO sycophants. So this is how you treat a country that you think is a shithole. This is how you treat a country that's a shithole. You look at Afghanistan, Iraq, these different things, during the Bush regime. So it's been Democrats and Republicans alike, regardless of the party. And I've said it for a long time, until we break away from this two-party duopoly, this two-party dictatorship, and break away and start to really put our weight and have the courage to break away and to vote for, genuine third parties that actually resemble progressive change, actual change, such as, like, for instance, the Green Party. It's going to be much of the same. It's going to be much of the same. My fear is, as we've talked offline, Fasika, is people see Trump as so bad because he speaks the way many of these politicians talk behind closed doors. But he puts it out there because he's a very unsavvy, idiotic politician. I mean, so he just puts it out there, and lo and behold, that curries favor with a large portion of his white base. But my fear is that people will see him as so horrible that what's going to happen is that they're going to run back to the Democratic Party. Oh, anything but him, mm-hmm. So we got to go back to the Democratic Party. We got to go back to the Democratic Party because I see this guy as the ultimate monster. And so, therefore, we have to make sure that we get a Democrat back in office. And if that's the case, it's going to be much of the same. And as Malcolm said, it's, you go to the dentist and they put Novocaine in your mouth. It's not that your mouth is not going through trauma. You're suffering peacefully. Mm-hmm. So the Democratic Party is kind of like that Novocaine. So people suffer peacefully because there's a Democrat in the White House, a smiley face, a Democratic, someone charismatic and in people's minds, this is the party of change and this, that, and the other, which couldn't be further from the truth. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And I honestly think that it goes back to, like, how we learn about American history from a very young age, like in elementary school. I was never taught that America acted, you know, in a nefarious way. Like, I think in elementary school, middle school, we had, like, 1 week units on slavery, and then we just, like, sort of glossed over it. So then, you know, even when you get to college, it's very easy to go through years and years of school without learning about, you know, how bad our history is and how bad it is today and the actions that we're still carrying out. So, like,
you said, let me stop you right there. This is your first time on this rodeo, on this show. Don't use that pronoun we, because you didn't do anything. You didn't. So you can say what the U.S. government did, because
right.
you had nothing to do with that,
yeah.
you know, and you would never do that to whatever. So,
right. No,
yeah.
the U.S. government.
Right.
No. Yeah. The U.S. government's history. I guess I'm saying how students learn about
mm-hmm.
that history is,
yeah.
is very, like, we just try to, I'm saying we as in, like, students at school
yeah.
Learn it in a very, like, backwards way. Students don't learn about sort of the true history until, you know, we seek outlets like this or
right.
we come to Nimbru and, like, learn, you know, about it this way.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to go through life without ever being interested in things like this.
Yeah. Wait, and you think that's by design?
Absolutely, it is by design. It's by design because, you know, as you continue to go through school, you have to seek out individually. You have to be interested in learning sort of the other side of the truth, or else I don't think that, you know, in school they would teach you about this.
So you're right. It's definitely by design.
Yeah.
Definitely by design. Just like, you know, before we welcome on our first guest who was on the line, you know, patiently waiting, is that without a doubt, because they want the status quo to go on in perpetuity, without a doubt.
Right.
And so that's why when you go to a major university, regardless of what that university is, and you take, you say, oh, I'm majoring in economics, or I'm majoring in business,
mm-hmm.
those are training grounds for capitalism.
Yeah.
So you're not going to
exactly.
learn anything. You're not going to learn alternative economic models
no.
and paradigms. You're not going to learn about,
no.
you know, socialism or socialist democracies and
never,
how
never.
These economies work. No, because they want, you know, these business students to come out and to learn about that. You know, you major in criminal justice. They're not teaching you, by and large, unless you have like a special professor here and there, like,
right.
you know, Dr. Joseph Richardson, who's a good friend of mine, who actually teaches the prison industrial complex, but these schools actually, you know, hire former wardens and so forth as instructors. And so students go in there majoring in criminal justice, and they're not learning about the fact that one in eight of the world's prisoners is an African American. That this is
wow.
the most prison populace in the world. They're not learning about these things. They're learning about, okay, that we need to build more prisons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and building more prisons, you know, equates to business, you know, and it also
right.
and also allows them to target, you know, the low-hanging fruit within this society, this particular society's, tree, and they go for those low-hanging fruit, and those low-hanging fruit are most of the time people of color, and the poor, and you know, those are the ones that are expendable. So we can go and we can, oh yes, you know, yes, whites use cocaine and crack and heroin at the same rate as blacks and Latinos, but we're going to hyper police the
right.
black and Latino communities,
mm-hmm.
the communities of color. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hyper police them. And so, yeah, so this is, it, you know, yeah, it is by design, completely by design.
Right.
So what we're going to do, we're going to welcome on an individual who I have a lot of respect for. He's one of the most, erudite and spot on and progressive analytical thinkers when it comes to geopolitics, as well as, U.S. politics in general. His name is Dan Welsh, and don't expect to see him on MSNBC or CNN anytime soon. You're just not going to. They're far too smart to have somebody like Dan Welsh on, and I mean that with all respect to Dan Welsh, is that because of what Dan Welsh covers within, you know, his purview of expertise, they know that very well. All they have to do is go to his Facebook page and go to the interviews that he's been on other outlets, and then they'll see, okay, we can't have this guy on because he might tell the truth. And if he tells the truth, it's going to educate tens of millions of our viewers on, you know, critical issues. Exactly. Because what is the corporate media in the United States anyway? The corporate media in the United States is, in essence, basically the fourth branch of the government. So Dan Welsh, who was also an educator, you know, and he and his lovely wife run a school in the Boston, Massachusetts area. And so he's kind of like a superhero. By day, he wears the glasses and he works as a school teacher and running a terrific school. But by night, you know, he puts on his cape and he becomes a political analyst, Dan Welsh. So without further ado, Dan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you.
You got your cape on?
Yeah.
You got your cape on?
Well, that's a beautiful introduction, Solomon. Thanks.
No problem. No problem. I think I ruined it for you, though. I don't think Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper are going to have you on anytime soon. So.
It sucks because I was so hoping. You know, I'm trying to get my regular allowance as a Russian troll, but that's not coming through either. So, you know,
right.
I'm going to have to fall back on the day job.
Exactly. Dan, I wanted to jump right in.
Sure.
What did you think in the context? I mean, and you know, take as long as you want. When you heard Trump refer to, you know, various countries, Haiti, El Salvador, and please, you know, put into context, you know, because we didn't get into it, you know, such as, for instance, like El Salvador, and put into context the U.S. support for Contras and so forth. But his statement on shithole countries and the kind of ridiculous theatrics that a lot of liberals put on. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. You were
referring
to shithole countries. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there was kind of a two-track thing. I mean, the first thing, since my wife is Ugandan, right? So the first thing was abject horror. What an asshole. I mean, how is it possible that someone would be overheard saying something like this? And the fact that he you mentioned this earlier when you were introducing it. He didn't mention some African countries. He mentioned Africa as another country. Like you have Haiti and, Africa. Countries like Haiti and Africa, which Africans are particularly keen on, it just rubs them the wrong way. So obviously it's a disgusting thing, and it's one of the things, like, my wife is now, like, there's never, ever going to say anything in defense of Trump, even when he's right or even, you know. That said, of course, the second reaction is, you know, what a joke. I mean, the so-called resistance is just a complete fraud, and fraud is probably the wrong word, because it is by design. It's a psyop and a PR movement to keep any real resistance from amassing. And it goes back. This is the toggle of U.S. politics. There isn't any real change on the horizon. There isn't anything that anyone can do within the context of this system to bring about any change. And so you have to fight over the scraps. It's like you go to the optometrist and, you know, when they do the thing with your eyes and they go, is this better or worse? You zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. If you zoom in close enough, it looks like there's an actual difference between the Democrat and Republican parties. And I wouldn't even say that the Democrats are, you know, you kind of said like imperialism with a human face or the cozy side or something. I mean, remember, Truman dropped the bombs. You know, the KKK is a Democrat establishment. The Democrat Party is the party of white supremacy and always was. you know, it's not something that is just they do a little softer or better than the Republicans. They have always done it, and they have always done it as bad or worse. It is at best the second most war-crazed political party on this planet. And if you take what the Democrats, or I mean, it's the silly, the two-party thing is ridiculous. It isn't, and just like you were saying, using "we" is inappropriate. You know that it isn't the American people. It isn't. It doesn't matter whether you say the party, the U.S. government and the empire, which it runs, have treated every nation on this earth like shithole countries forever. I mean, you look at the destruction. Sure, you can look at the recent things about Obama and Clinton, the destruction of Yugoslavia, the destruction of Libya, the idea of a Secretary of State going to somewhere where the African leader has been sodomized with a knife, and to say we came, we saw, he died, and cackle maniacally is just so much worse than using the term shithole. It's laughable. I don't know whether to laugh or cry, because it's such a farce that they should say this. You mentioned El Salvador, where the U.S. Armed and trained these death squads, just like it's doing in Syria, just like it did in Libya, just like it did in Ukraine, everywhere. And we're talking about interference. This is a big thing now. The resistance, the anti-Trumpers, are talking about interference in the U.S. democracy. You know, William Bloom has written, a list of, I think, more 83 countries or something that the U.S. has effected a coup in just the last 60, 70 years. It's a ridiculous idea. And in order to push back against what Trump represents, we have to make sure that we're doing so on a systemic level and not just falling into the old trap of being the Democrats' latest battering ram. Like, we can count on black votes because, you know, they don't have anywhere else to go, just like the left. And it's so cynical and degrading that it's, I don't know, like you said about being, different characters day and night. It's hard to get up in the morning. It really is these days.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for your commentary. So one question I had is, sort of what you were speaking about, why do you think so many people, especially, I guess, under President Obama's terms, became so complacent and sort of looked the other way? And I guess, can you talk a little bit about the Syria issue and, you know, all of these actions that President Obama took that people, so-called liberals, you know, looked the other way around, but, you know, that was actually pretty destructive.
Sure. Yeah, I think that Obama may have been actually, concocted in a petri dish at Langley. I mean, there is no more brilliant move that the ruling class has put on than the selection of not only a black president, but this guy was so slick and made it sound so good and so real for so many people, not to many of us who were awake, but it was very sexy and very seductive. My wife thinks that it was purely a result of Katrina, that, you know, they were in danger of actually having the racial discord in this society erupt in a real sense, like the 67, 68, and that they had to do something. And so this was their answer. And people are, naturally complacent, I think. They don't want to do anything they don't have to do. Plus, they're taught. I mean, you were talking about this earlier. The education system is so dumbed down, and people's political consciousness is non-existent. It's just so low that they'll take anything. Also, they're starved. You know, they're completely starved. Look at the Black Panther movie, it winds up as the hero is a CIA guy who shoots down some black liberation fighters. You know, it's a great thing for representation, but it's not a revolutionary step. And Obama was not a step toward change. It was a consolation prize. It was enough to keep people in the dark. While, as Solomon, as you said, he ramped up The drone strikes ramped up everything. I'm good at killing people. The guy actually said, jokingly, I'm good at killing people, you know? And beyond that, you know, it's not to say that Trump can't be worse. He almost definitely will be, but we haven't seen that yet. I would say the worst president is the current one in any scale, because in late stage capitalism, this is what they do. And Trump has already doubled the drone strikes, I think, from Obama's first year. I'm not sure about that, but it definitely is open season and it is getting worse. But you have, you know, unfortunately in this country, the Democratic Party has been so adept at manipulating the black leadership through what, the BAR calls the black misleadership class, the Congressional Black Caucus and all these people, who are basically shills for the Democrat Party, you know. And so not only will they take anything, but they won't even argue. Look at what's happening now. You have a $700+ billion defense budget. The Democrats all voted for it, and they actually gave more than the president requested. But they'll come out because it sounds good to oppose this parade, this silly parade, you know. And not only do they go after – I think these things piggyback off each other, because – violence abroad is violence at home, you know.
Right.
You're talking about gun control. We need war control. You know, mass murder abroad yields mass murder at home. These kids are raised in a culture of endless cycle of violence, militarized from the cradle with their camo shorts and camo underwear, you know. How do you expect a society to function like that? And black people are either completely invisible or completely demonized in that scheme of things. And so they're pushed to the side or used in the Democrat sense as potential votes. It's crazy that, you know, they get away with it. It's just so... It's really depressing. I know I sound manic, but I'm actually kind of sad.
It is. I mean, you're exactly right. Yeah, it is. It's depressing, and because you know, you as an activist, me as an activist, it makes our work so much more difficult, because we spend so much of our time trying to convince people that the boogeyman is real, but it's not the
boogeyman
that
they are planting. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not China, and it's not Russia. It's not immigrants.
Exactly.
It's not black people.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up Russia. I wanted to ask you to get your reaction to these, indictments for these, you know, of these Russian officials, and in the broader context, like, what are your thoughts on that? But in the broader context of, like, what if Russia was the one that went into a country and unilaterally started bombing it, went into multiple countries and unilaterally started bombing it? What if Russia was executing people extrajudiciously by way of drone attacks and had done all these different things that we know the U.S. has and continues to do? Do you find it beyond, like, I mean, I can't even say laughable, but just pathetic that the United States and then also, you know, Dan, I'll end on this. What if it was Russia that had, you know, gone into all these different countries that the U.S. has done, you know, starting with Iran in 1953 and Guatemala in 1954,
and
the Congo, and we could go on and on, and has destabilized Chile in 1973 and gone to all these different countries and impacted elections or elected officials, democratically elected officials, you know, by way of assassination or deposing them. Russia, you know,
buying elections.
What are your thoughts on the hypocrisy? What are your thoughts on this?
It's, or just buying, I mean, you could go much more recent than that. You know, Newsweek had a spread bragging about how the Yanks came to the rescue and put Yeltsin in power. The Russians are pissed off. Why shouldn't they be? And even if they had that capacity, if they could interfere and sow discord, who would blame them? Also, to the extent that these farcical elections are even real, why not somebody intervene? I saw a meme the other day that said, well, maybe it won't be the Russians. Maybe it'll be the Martians. I hope it's someone. I hope someone intervenes because this is a crock of shit right here. And, you know, I mean, that said, like, I don't have any respect. I don't think there is a democracy. I think you have someone as lame and milquetoast as Jimmy Carter saying that, you know, we have – it's an oligarchy. It's not. The voters have no power and no hope of having any control over the outcome, you know. So, you know, you're right. What if Russia did X, Y, Z? It's just an enormous thing of the bully making claims worthy of Goebbels about how the other guy did what they have done times, you know, 5-6 orders of magnitude. It's astonishing. And I like the way you say, you know, laughable, but it's kind of scary. So, you don't really think you should be laughing at this. But what I see now is this kind of like society in free fall where you have things turned. It's like, I'm surprised that the rain isn't falling up, that you have the supposed opposition talking all of this Russia nonsense. I mean, all of these jokes going around about Mueller and a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. You know, these are 13. I mean, brilliant move, right? Politically, Friday afternoon news dump. You know, no one will pay attention. Oops, that's the biggest story of the week. 13 unindictable, you know, like nobodies. They're foreign nationals. It can never see a courtroom. The Russian constitution forbids extradition. They didn't commit any crimes under their own constitution. But it's just a show, and it's so obvious that it's scary how people don't see through it. They meddled on the interwebs, and they may have convinced people, and now everyone is falling in line. Sanders is saying that the people who gave him their $20 checks, you know, who stood in the rain, are Russian trolls. They begged and begged and begged him not to endorse Clinton. They had horrible things to say about Clinton, which were all true during, before, and after the election. And he's coming up and saying that they must have been Russian trolls, because how else could you explain an uptick in people bashing Hillary Clinton on his website after he endorsed her? It's inexplicable. Right. Except, I got it. Must have been Russia. It's like you almost can't breathe when you're hearing arguments like this and otherwise well-meaning. And I think that actually that is the point, Solomon. It is a drive by design to further censorship and further the crushing of dissent, and especially of the black left, you know, BAR, all these other sites, what they're trying to call black identity extremism, you know. A KKK is never on a terror list, you know, but Fred Hampton get a gun and you see how fast people twitch. And so that they're all lumped in, they're anti-democracy. Same as it ever was. Since the 50s, the Russians under every bed. And even then, the Cold War I, I don't think it was about communism either. People are saying, and especially on the left, I really hate this, that the Russians aren't socialists. They're not communists enough. They're oligarchs. They're blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 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 yeah. This is Cold War 2.0. Right. Who said it has anything to do with the economic orientation of their economy? Because they're link and chain with China. Russia and China are equally demonized. Oh, this is a good one, too. You know what they are? They're racists. Have you noticed this? In the news stream, China is racist. Russians are racist. It's a big threat of to try to keep black people domestically from linking up with the struggle on a geopolitical level. Like, you know, Stokely Carmichael, who was it, said, no Viet Cong ever called me, you know. And there's a natural tendency to link up and they're coming out with these stories. I mean, some of these people don't have very small black populations. I'm sure racism is a problem. But can you imagine the U.S. government and U.S. media sources and U.S. society leveling that kind of a charge at anyone in the world? While 1/8, like you said, of the entire global prison population is African American. It's astonishing, yep. But they will do anything they can. And it's sad that, I mean, you know, we're screaming into the wilderness. But, you know, I think we need to keep doing it. We're probably on Russian lists. We're probably on everything. So what? I have millennial friends who are, you know, afraid to – they don't want to go on Facebook because it's CIA book, and they're going to – you know, look, if you're doing anything real, they've had your name for a long time. They probably have a drone stationed outside your house. So don't sweat it.
So my next question is, how have economic sanctions crippled developing countries?
Well, and also, Dan, can you follow up on that? Can you also put in, you know, let our listeners know, when we talk about these economic sanctions, what kind of impact have they had on human life? Because a lot of times people just think of lives being lost by way of bullets and drones and missiles and so forth. But, you know, do these economic sanctions, do they kill people as well?
Exactly what you were, what she was asking. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, because a sanction, first of all, sanctions are warfare. They're acts of economic war. And they're designed to inflict pain. And, of course, they do. They claim that it's supposed to be against the leadership, but it makes no sense at all. Doesn't even stand a smell test. It's a form of collective punishment. And what you what you do is you restrict certain types of trade, certain types like spare parts for, you know, water treatment plants. You know, they did this in Iraq, and they killed, you know, there was half a million kids died from, you know, outbreaks of diseases, cholera, from lack of pure water. It's unbelievably murderous. It always is, and it's intended to be. And to say sanction, guess what, white people or Democrats or whoever you are identifying yourself as part of that we, it's going to get a lot worse because we have shit on people the whole world over for a very long time. And there is a huge reckoning awaiting. And you can't, you're going to cry about it, and no one will have sympathy because the U.S. war machine has been slaughtering left and right as far back as anyone can remember. And the sanctions are brutal. They're dishonest. They're killing machines, slow killing machines. They're after China because they won't withhold food from socialist Korea. You believe that one? They're allowing some food to get through. How dare they? And they do this with a straight face. And it's partly because the white supremacist nature of the empire blinds it to seeing anyone or anything as human. You know, they're not, they are like the war games. So we're neutralizing threats, right? Aggressor, or we're offing hostiles. this is the language the kids grow up with in their stupid video games. So how are they gonna, you know, how are they gonna outgrow that? It's discouraging. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I think that part of the problem too is that complexity or like expertise. I think that's sometimes used as a tool by people in power, so that a lot of people don't even bother to look into what sanctions actually mean. So if
no,
you don't
I think
know what a sanction is, then how can you, you know?
I know,
it?
And you don't. And so you better listen to me because I'm the expert. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a huge thing. And why I write a lot and I ask people to translate. And my stuff is translated into a lot of different languages. And translators have fun but also are challenged because they say I use too many colloquialisms or, you know, I sound too many jokes and stuff like that. I think that the rhetoric has to be down to earth. I don't mean forcibly, like talking down to people, but it has to be accessible. It's funny. People, you know, people have much more in common with each other than people realize just because one person has a college degree and one person doesn't. But the system uses that expertise to silence dissent. And what is amazing now, if you look at CNN or any of these, you see that they have the form without the function. Like, you can tell, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's just talking down to this person, and he has no idea. He's going through the motions, but he's a moron. And it's like, and I'm in my position, I'm saying, he's getting paid. I'm sitting here doing nothing, and you know, it's amazing. It's just, I know, but I think
Dan,
it's great. Go ahead.
Right. What has to happen for there to be real revolutionary change? I know you're a scholar when it comes to, you know, things like the Russian Revolution and
sure.
so many other revolutions that have successful revolutions that have occurred throughout, you know, history. What would actually have to happen in this country? We're talking about a different beast with, you know, a lot of different distractions where people are, you know, they're, as you said, their time and interest is sometimes caught up in video games, reality shows, and also just the corporate media. What would have to happen for us to see a real tangible change?
Well, Netflix would have to go down for an appreciable period of time. You have to get rid of Netflix. but I hate to, I'm going to go dark on you for a minute just because I'm of a certain age where I didn't think I would see this in my lifetime. I knew that the struggle means committing yourself to a lifetime of fighting, and you might not see the fruits of it, you know, just like, you know, Dr. King said. And now in a position where I'm pretty sure that this is not looking good. It's the control is so deep and so powerful. I think that any of these things, though, they're all very threatening to the establishment, and any of them could at least lead to social breakdown or social explosion. That doesn't mean revolution, but it certainly is that the society is breaking down by any visible measure, you know, and that is, I suppose, I'm not an accelerationist. I think that's likely to go fascist more than it's likely to go toward some sort of workers' rebellion. But it still is like we're nearing an end game of some sort. It is definitely the shit is really hitting the fan at high speed. But, you know, there are no armed militia. There are no groups of that could even defend themselves against the U.S. might. You know, Vietnamese rice farmers did it, but yeah, it took them 20 years. You know, I mean, it's very dark, and I see that people just want to do something. So okay, yeah, so we'll do something. So we'll raise the age of buying assault weapons from 18 to 21? Okay, but so what? And I'm not – what that leads into is get out the vote drive for the next Democrat cycle. You know,
yeah.
I love the fact that the kids are pissed off and that they're getting involved, but there's so much to learn about – not to learn. They just have to look around to connect with the geopolitical context to see what's going on. You know, the NRA wasn't wasn't against gun control, and it had to do with the Panthers. They signed on to the Mugford Act under Governor Reagan. You know, so yeah, I know. I was tempted to give a rousing speech, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were realistic. So you're basically saying it's going to take a lot of work.
Clarity, I think, is the one thing that we can do is be clear and be honest. push back against this Russia-China bullshit. Push back against the demonization of dissent. Push back against people like the Clintons pretending that they're something other than racist reactionary pigs. You know, make it make them work for their narrative. Because they sure as hell are making us work for ours.
Right. Right on. Right on. Hey, Dan, I appreciate you coming on and taking time out of your schedule because, you know, you have an extremely important job, you know, helping to expose, you know, those brilliant young minds of the students that that
well,
go
now
to
it's about target
school.
Practice. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. You being the target, right? There.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We got to go back to the range.
Right.
No, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, thanks a lot. And before you go, where can people, you know, find your work, like some of your writings and stuff that you mentioned?
Yeah, that's right. Well, they can on Facebook. It's just Dan Welch. They can find me there. And a lot of all my stuff is there somewhere. Or DanielPWelch.com is a lot is archived in different languages and stuff. So that's and any of those, there are messages and stuff like that. So. Yeah, I look forward to and the school is the Greenhouse School, if people want to look that up. It's a pretty cool little place, but, you know, our funding is always a dangerously unbalanced. So, you know, we do what we can.
Do you take donations?
Sure,
you take
yeah.
In-kind donations?
Yeah, in-kind, out-of-kind, unkind, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank
that sounds
you.
Good.
All right,
thank you, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right,
bye.
Thank you. And that was Dan Welch, you know, and I really do implore folks to go check out his work. It's great work. His articles are spot on, and when you go to his Facebook page, you'll see a list of, you know, just an ongoing list of video interviews that he's appeared on. You know, alternative, you know, television outlets, you know, mostly international outlets that, you know, function a lot differently than the corporate media. This media system here in the United States, it is among the worst in the world, And the only reason people think it's great is because it has all the bells and the whistles and the sharp, you know, chyrons at the bottom of the screen and you know, the you know, multi-million dollar studios and all that stuff and the big names, you know, so-called big names that come on. But in terms of the information that it puts out, it is among the worst. And when I say information, and I say among the worst is because the information is purposely filtered. It is purposely filtered. It is purposely slanted to try to manipulate the minds of the viewers and the listeners to not come to their own conclusion by being exposed to a broad pantheon of information, but they want them to come to the conclusion that they deem acceptable. Mm-hmm. So it is outright, it is awful, awful, awful. So I implore people to go online and look at Telesaur, you know, English, you know, and outlets like that. Go to Black Agenda Report, you know, Black Agenda Report. .com and you know, look at the information, the videos and the articles and the podcasts and radio segments that they have on their website. You know, Black Agenda Report's a really great spot. I mean, go to yourworldnews.org, yourworldnews.org. I think that we're doing some great work here as well. We're going to take a brief break and then we're going to come back and Fasigo will give us her parting comments and so will I. And we'll adjourn this this episode. This is a piece that was done some years ago by Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Report called Drones in Africa, but I think it's still salient for us to put into perspective what has happened, what has been done, with the U.S. military machine, you know, with other countries, and in the case, looking at this continent of Africa.
With the U.S. and European military offensive in Africa in full swing, the drone wars are set to enter a new phase. Therefore, it is appropriate that U.S. anti-war activists will descend on the White House on April 13th to demand drones out of Africa and everywhere. The activists, including former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney and the Answer Coalition, say the real target is Africa's vast natural resources. Drone warfare, say the organizers, has become central to the modern U.S. version of gunboat diplomacy to force exploitative terms of trade and political accommodations. The West African nation of Niger has been very accommodating to the Americans, as she has been to the French, the former colonial master. According to a high Niger official quoted by the Reuters news agency, Niger has given the green light to accepting American surveillance drones on its soil to improve the collection of intelligence on Islamist movements. However, there is no reason to believe that the U.S. drones will be restricted to unarmed surveillance. Sources in Washington say there are no constraints to military-to-military cooperation within the agreement with Niger, which presumably means the U.S. can use the drones as it likes. The U.S. base in northern Niger puts the robotic planes within easy reach of Mali, Algeria, and Libya. The U.S. already has a drone base in neighboring Burkina Faso, which also borders on Benin, Togo, Ghana, and the Ivory Coast. In East Africa, the U.S. has been terrorizing Somalia with drones since 2006, when it instigated the Ethiopian invasion of Somalia. The U.S. Africa Command, AFRICOM, sends out drones from its large permanent base in neighboring Djibouti, from which it can watch or attack most of the Horn of Africa, including Eritrea, right next door, one of the few countries in Africa that has no relationship with AFRICOM. Eritrea is under constant threat from Ethiopia, from which it won independence after a 30-year war. Ethiopia is now home to a new U.S. drone base, as are the Seychelles Islands, offshore in the Indian Ocean and within easy drone range of most of the East African coast, Somalia, Kenya, Tanzania, and Mozambique. In the very heart of the African continent, the 17,000-man United Nations peacekeeping force in the Democratic Republic of Congo wants to use U.S. drones to monitor armed groups in the region, where U.S. special forces are also operating. Those drones would be deployed under much the same U.N. Security Council language that NATO used to launch its war against Libya in 2011. At the same time, another section of the United Nations is about to launch an investigation into the legality of U.S. drone warfare in Somalia, Yemen, and Pakistan. Thus, it is possible that the United Nations Security Council could wind up calling in American drones to attack people in the Congo region, while the UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights and Counterterrorism is investigating whether U.S. drone warfare violates international law. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
And that was Glenn Ford from Black Agenda Report. Fasika, I just want to get your thoughts on the discussion today,
Sure. So I think this was a very important and interesting discussion. I think for young people, especially right now, I might want someone or a politician just to come and rescue us from this mess that we have right now. But I think what I learned from this is that it's really important not to just be loyal to a politician or a person because people are imperfect, but to be loyal to ideas and principles and to think critically and beyond, what they just tell you in school, and to, think critically and, be unafraid to challenge assumptions and the status quo and just, to take a second look at issues.
I appreciate that. And I'll let you have the last word on that. You know, I got nothing else to add on that. I mean, that's spot on. You know, for Fasika, I'm Solomon, and you've been listening to Your World News, the place where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. And, you know, I'll let Sheepy, a friend of mine from Norway, MC from Norway, you know, take us out with a song he did several years ago called Left 4 Dead. Listen to the lyrics, listen to the words. This is the kind of hip hop that they, being the corporate media, do not want folks to listen to. And but we need to listen to this music. Let it inspire us. Let it take us to our own exploration of critical facts and information.
Brother, one GP wonder. Okay, listen, we're all a part of the bigger plan. You wanna stand by yourself or take a stand? Shit, I guess we all have been misled, cause what they say might just fuck with your head. Now the word is out in 91,000 documents, so I don't need to speak the truth about the government. The result of secondary evil and the orders that kill innocent people. Rapid machine gun fire spit, Apache chopper hit and keep on shooting. I call them killers in the cockpit. The world's sick, we all have to admit. We aim to kill and shoot with a trigger itch. We're going down, I can see people dying. Can't you see all the bodies multiplying? Can't you hear the women and children crying? Are you blind, motherfucker? Can't you see we need to wake up, like wage against the machine? Cause this is not a fantasy, this is not a dream, this is a reality, this is what we see. And if you think you're free, I beg to disagree. I guess we're sleeping with our minds closed, eyes shut, cold inside and afraid to wake up. We walk around like zombies left for dead, and when we speak our mind, they shoot us in the head. I guess we're stupid and easy to trick. We go to war for our freedom when it's all politics. So we walk around like zombies left for dead. Let me speak my mind and catch a bullet in my head.
A rhyming God speaking. You need to wake up, no Tylenol PM. The revolution, a better solution. Restitution, retribution. Texas shooting, death is ruined. Better music than your generation. Sinners, hatred, litigation. Kill the nation, winners, patrons. The displacement, wicked sensation. The tempest was timid when he entered the oasis. I have met with the oracle, speech was rhetorical. In the morning, they are mourning you, it is honorable. So when you fight for what you believe, you are remembered by a mark on the sleeve. The funeral parlor, consuming the horror, we move for tomorrow. And usually proper, consuming your offer to the tomb where they brought us. You can't kill a thought, you can't kill an idea. You can shoot me in the head, but can't kill my mind either. The rhyme seeker, divine speaker, time reacher, line preacher, designed to seek ya. Follow us down the path of the righteous. If you don't like us, from darkness to where light is.
I guess we're sleeping with our minds closed, eyes shut, cold inside and afraid to wake up. We walk around like zombies left for dead, and when we speak our mind, they shoot us in the head. I guess we're stupid. Easy to trick, we go to war for our freedom when it's all politics. So we walk around like zombies left for dead. Let me speak my mind and catch a bullet in my head.